Okay. Good evening. I'd like to call to order the Montvalon Planning and Zoning Commission special meeting, April 2nd, 2026, 6 p.m. And calling that meeting to order, and the next item on our agenda is the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Here he is.
Our secretary.
Our secretary.
You're late.
Come on, Johnny, take your time. There you go.
Get you all going.
Mr. Secretary.
Let's see. Commissioner Longton.
Here.
Commissioner Terry.
Here.
Commissioner Gillette.
Not here.
Okay. Commissioner Pike.
Here.
I'm here. Commissioner Lindy. Not here. Commissioner Kobelik.
Here.
Commissioner Summers.
Here.
Commissioner PDS.
Here.
And Mark Myers.
Here.
And we're going to see alternate for Commissioner Myers for Sarah Lundy.
Okay.
Okay, for the record. Okay. All right, moving on. Agenda item four, All of Us at North LLC, informal discussion. So this evening, we're going to have a presentation by and a discussion with All of Us at North LLC to consider implications of State of Connecticut funded proposed water and sewer extensions on Fort Shantock Road, Massapequa Side Road, Derry Hill Road, and Plato's Drive. So I'm going to start this evening with some bullet points that have been put together. This is derived from questions that the commission has sent to the land use department. We used some of these to present to the developer in a informal meeting with them on Monday, giving them an opportunity to address and for us to do some due diligence on what was represented to us at the last meeting when they did an informal presentation. And at that time, they were looking for some sort of a nod from us in favor, or do we, you know, support the project, etc. So let me just go through some notes for the commission members to bring everybody up to speed. This is an informal discussion only. This is not a public hearing. We're not taking comment from the public this evening. There's no pending application before us for this project or proposed project. The developer claims they're seeking state funding to extend water and sewer to support the development of approximately 730 units along Massapequa Side Road, and it's asking for an indication of town support to bring forth to the state. The developer has indicated there is state funding available to support the utility extensions necessary to support the 730 units. There are 120 units being considered along Route 32, which does have access to water and sanitary services at this time. Since our last meeting, the director has researched this matter specific to the state level of support and the money availability. As noted in his report, which you have all been sent, and I'm assuming you've read and reviewed, okay, the state funding reality is not available at this time. Director received this indication from the Deputy Commission, Matthew Pugliese, from DECD, who stated there is no timeline established for this funding. Furthermore, should such money become available, It was relayed to us. It'll be through a competitive process, which would include substantial due diligence. To that end, the director recommends the commission not take a position on this proposal to extend the sewer and water and conduct further review once the competitive process actually opens. At that time, the town would be willing to review this matter. However, there are numerous items which require close scrutiny, and three of the most important considerations are the neighborhood implications and roadways leading to this development, and potentially what that will require and to what extent. The risk management aspect of this, it appears to the town would be required to accept and administer any of these funds which the state would provide, but we would be at risk, apparently, for any associated cost overruns, unforeseen conditions, and that's not been addressed, okay? Water and sewer capacity. Just prior to this meeting, we received a little bit of information on this, but more time's needed to understand the implications upon water and sewer capacity to support not only if this project was come to fruition, but other future projects where utilities currently exist. Our director's report points out that the current POCD does not mention us ever extending sewer or water into this area. We also note that we have shovel-ready projects, village apartments, and there are a couple other multifamily projects that are sitting currently with approvals. The director suggests the priority may be to focus on our infill projects, which is concurrent with our SIF-funded goals and our existing utilities and services. Again, I'll open this up for questions to Dennis, our director, but furthermore, the commission has several initiatives underway, which we all realize. In the next 18 months, we plan to complete a new municipal housing plan. We have a new POCD and some zoning modernization that's going to take place that we've been working on, and we need a very comprehensive water and sewer capacity evaluation. So in any event, the developers here this evening, and we agreed to allow them to continue their presentation. At this time, I'm going to ask the commission members, do you have any questions to me regarding what I just read to you, which is consistent with the report you received? Mm-hmm. And if not, do you have any questions for Dennis, our director?
Not at this time.
POCD is Plan of Conservation and Development, just in case anybody doesn't know what that is. Yeah. No, and I have no questions.
Okay. Wills?
That is probably the time.
Johnny? Mark?
No questions.
Josh? Joe?
I'm good.
Okay, very good. Dennis, would you like to add anything to that from staff's point of view on what I just...
No, I would just like to make one mention. I believe I know that the developer has mentioned to me in staff, I don't remember if it was mentioned here, but had referenced a rural infrastructure fund. And in my conversations with DECD, there is such a fund, but that money has not been allocated, and that total fund is in the amount of $30 million, from what I'm told. And it is not scheduled anytime soon for the bond commission. As the chairman had mentioned, there would be a substantial amount of scrutiny. I also believe it's my obligation, staff's obligation, to say that a rural infrastructure fund such as that would probably be open to every town in the state of Connecticut to apply for funding for priority projects. in that we would want to ensure that we vet out where our priorities are. There might be other needs, you know, such as at the manor, where there are other, you know, where there are water issues that need to be addressed from an infrastructure standpoint. Maybe there's, I believe there's septic systems around Oxabaxa Lake as well. There, you know, some perhaps there's extensions on sanitary sewer that would need to or should happen as well. So I think as we move forward with our POCD update in our housing plan, we'll identify and prioritize those. And you know, as any investor and property owner in the town is more than happy, and I've mentioned it to the team, and are welcome to participate in that process, and it should be kicking off in the very near future. I believe, as the chairman had mentioned, and they'll be presenting tonight the development proposal along Route 32, which has existing water and sewer infrastructure, I believe you'll be happy with what you see on the architecture side there when the time comes and they present it. And that is allowed as of right, and it has, as I said, it has the infrastructure to support it. So I think that's all I wanted to add.
Okay. Very good. Meredith, Stace, you guys good? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Attorney David Sherwood. I represent the property owner, all of us, at North LLC. I'd like to start by thanking the commission for your time and interest.
Pull the mic down a little bit.
All right, and excuse me, attorney. The system in here isn't the greatest for amplification. And, you know, the primary purpose is for recording minutes of this meeting, so bear with us. I'll try to remind everyone to speak a little louder. The public would like to hear more comments from
I'll
you.
Do the best
All
I
right.
can.
Thank you very much.
So we appreciate your time and interest in the proposed development. I think there's some confusion over the basics, so I'd like to try and clarify that. As you've heard, the state has authorized a rural infrastructure bond to fund improvements in rural Connecticut, which is open to every town in the state, I'm sure. Our client owns 335 acres in Montville, east of Route 32, which is up on the screen, and would like to build multifamily housing on some of the parcels. The total would be 857 units, 129 immediately east of Route 32. Those are the two parcels to the left on the screen there, and 724 parcels on the peninsula. Multifamily housing would require water, sewer, and road improvements, multifamily housing in that location. And the improvements could be potentially funded through the bond issue. And we were told that a very important consideration to the bond commission and a component in the process was for the town to indicate, for the town of Montville, to indicate its position with respect to the proposed development. So we contacted the mayor. We met with the mayor, I think, a total of four times preliminarily. I think it's fair to say that the mayor's position was that he was generally in support of the project, but that the money for the infrastructure improvements would not be coming from the town of Montville. And because of the amount of money that would be required in order to construct the infrastructure, it would put the project out of reach of the developer if there wasn't some funding source. So, and my understanding is that a gentleman named Davis Corris, who is the Connecticut Municipal Development Authority Director, and also an informal advisor to Governor Lamont, was asked to determine what the town's position was with respect to this proposed development, and that he contacted your planner and asked for some read. And the planner, I wasn't privy to the conversation, but my understanding is that Mr. Godair said that that was a decision that would be made by the Planning and Zoning Commission. So we met with Mr. Godair on the 20th and gave him what information we had, and we met with you on the 24th and made a presentation with respect to what we were proposing, which is essentially unchanged. In other words, it's unchanged since the 24th. I'd like to point out that the timing, which I think is short by anybody's measure, was not our choice. When Mr. Godair asked me, you know, how much time do we have, what's the schedule, I referred him to Mr. Corris because we don't have any read on how urgent that is with respect to where we are in the process to try to secure this bond. But I can tell you that, as I have, that the input from the town is an important consideration to the state of Connecticut as we proceed through the process. I think it would be helpful to remind you what you're not doing when you're sitting here this evening or when you're considering this project. You are not pre-approving what's on the board. You're not pre-approving the development. You're not pre-approving the density. You're not endorsing the project. You're not endorsing the layout. You're not endorsing the architectural design. And you're not making a commitment to either the developer or the state of Connecticut with respect to the eventual fate of the project. What you are doing is determining whether or not the developer, in other words, our client, may proceed in the process to try to attempt to secure the money from the rural infrastructure bond in order to build the improvements that are necessary to put in its proposed housing development. If you say no, if you vote tonight and say, look, we're not interested in this, we don't want any more housing in Montville, we're done, then it's very likely that the project will not proceed. If you say it's, you know, this is a possibility, this is an area that is in our overlay zone, it allows for this type of development, we need more housing, this would provide 259 units of affordable housing, which would put you just about at the 10%, in other words, to the point where you wouldn't be subject to 830G applications. Would provide, as proposed, it would provide a number of 1- and 2-bedroom units, which we believe would be attractive to your elderly population, people that wanted to downsize. They'd be able to live in a multifamily building, which would be a condominium, so they wouldn't have any maintenance responsibilities directly. The units would be small enough to accommodate them. As I indicated in the response to the questions, all the first floor units would be handicapped accessible. And the water and sewer improvements, which would benefit your overlay, the Route 32 overlay zone, would most likely be out of the reach of the town or any individual developer. So if you take no position, or if you tell the state that you would consider this type of activity, depending on conditions placed on state funding, depending on the plan that the developer ultimately submits, then the process can continue. So with that, I guess I would ask if perhaps the best way to proceed would be for the commission to ask questions. I mean, we've already presented the project. We can do that again if you think that's warranted, or we can answer questions.
Yep. Let's go around the horn. Chuck, would you have any questions?
Not at this time.
For the developer.
I've sat through the first presentation, and Mr. Godair has answered all my questions. Thank you.
I have no further questions at this time. I'm satisfied with the director's comments.
Josh.
No questions.
Joe. Mark.
No questions.
Mr. Johnny.
None.
Okay.
How about you?
All right. I have concerns with information that we were given, number one, as what this infrastructure cost was going to land between $20 and $30 million. I was present in the meeting Monday with all of you when you had department heads here to discuss this as well. We brought up several items at the time, one of which was sidewalk access from the project to understood there's a long distance of roadway out there to the project, but as part of where we're going with our plan of conservation and development and our zoning requirements, we're looking to establish sidewalks, multi-trail use to high-density developments to the other areas in town at a minimum, you know, out to Route 32 from that project. It was mentioned that it adds an additional cost that, you know, couldn't be borne by the developer, and it's not included in the infrastructure. The design's not complete. So that's a concern of mine.
Can we go back to the sidewalk?
Sure.
You're correct that the cost of the sidewalk could not be borne by the developer. I think it could be included potentially in the infrastructure bond. And we have a sidewalk plan if you want to see it.
I don't need to see it, but I just want to bring up some other points that weren't addressed. It was clear there's not a final design on the water and sewer. So we're throwing numbers out there, $20 million, $30 million, and it was brought to our attention that the way this gets distributed is to the municipality, and I believe it was Mr. Quinn who brought up that it'll be the town's responsibility to contract the project, to bond the contractor. Our consulting engineer brought up unforeseen circumstances, rock encounter, etc. At this time, I don't think you have a concise plan for water and sewer to know those exact costs.
No, that's correct. We don't. We have the plan that we submitted.
Correct.
Which also went to OPM, so they have the same information.
We are at a point where we are involved in working on a revitalization program for the Route 32 corridor, the Route 163 corridor. We're going to be looking as a town to obtain monies for that. We're concerned that infrastructure money that gets spent out to an area where we've never had a plan to extend water and sewer until this project's come along, that we're not going to achieve the goals that this town is trying to accomplish right now. With that being said, I'll poll. We're not going to take a formal vote this evening. We'll give you a general consensus. But I don't believe that anyone here is in favor of extending the water and sewer out there at this time. I don't feel we have enough information. I don't feel we have enough information on cost. I don't think we have enough information on our sewer and water capacity. We're getting some very rough numbers. There's a lot of areas that haven't been considered that may need the quota we have left. There's no guarantee of what future quantities of water we can get from the city of Groton. I think there's way too many items that have to be addressed. And the information we're getting from the state is they're not about to hand money out 2 weeks from now or make a vote on it. It's not even on their radar screen. That's what they're telling us. So
I think that's correct. But this, as I said, this is a process that started initially with the funding for this rural infrastructure bond. And as you proceed through the process, you have to identify an area where you ask the bond commission to issue a bond for the infrastructure improvements, and we're in the midst of that process. I don't think it's a question of 2 weeks, but I think it's likely that it could happen this year. There's one thing I would like to emphasize, and that is if the commission decides that the project should not proceed and so advises Mr. Corus, then we're done. In other words, that this project will not proceed, and the state is not going to look at this. We're not going to pursue this. If the commission takes no position, it can see how things evolve. I understand that you don't have the hard information that you would need or anywhere near it in order to approve a development of this magnitude. But as I said, the state requires some read from you with respect to whether this is something which might be feasible. It is zoned for this development. You do need affordable housing. There's a need for affordable housing in the region, as you know, based on what Electric Boat is doing, and there certainly is a need for affordable housing in the state. So, you know, obviously you're going to make your own decision, but at least consider allowing this to proceed along a little further so you can see exactly what's involved. You're making no commitment to the state, and you're making no commitment to us.
No, understood.
If you allow it to proceed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you guys like to make a vote?
I think
we have comments.
Yeah, my comments.
You want to go around and ask comments?
One more time. Chuck, any questions?
If we were to allow consideration to continue, what kind of time span are we talking before we would have enough information to actually formally consider it?
The next step, I believe the applicant needs to come in with a complete set of plans. You know, we're just hypothetically talking about things. I mean, it's a beautiful project. It's an area where there's no water and sewer. The cost of infrastructure, road improvements that we have to consider. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have that information.
I'm not against the concept, but I don't think we have enough information to actually make any kind of a decision.
Well, we're not approving the project. We're not giving them approval. The attorney said that. But, you know, we have other things we have to consider.
Yeah, well, we're currently working on it. You know, we can't endanger that.
Yep. Please?
I think the scale and intensity of this project does not meet the town of Montville. I think it's too large. I think there'd be too many road improvements. I'm not in favor.
Wolves?
So I'm not a big fan of loose language. My background is in engineering. I work on objective quality evidence. I don't like loose language. So let me be very clear on my thoughts on this. The director, we put a lot of trust in. The mayor does. The town does. We hired this man to do a job. He received a letter from the state saying this funding is not even available. And it's going to be looked at by multiple municipalities. My biggest concern is there is not enough information here. We don't know the hydraulic capacity of our water and sewer plant. It's landlocked. Maybe you don't know that, but it's landlocked, so we have to figure out if we have enough room. There's a lot of questions within the town that need to be addressed amongst us and the people of Montville. I agree with Commissioner Terry. I think this is out of the scope of Montville. This is a very nice piece of property, and Montville knows it. You know it. Everybody knows it. But we need to be thoughtful and careful, and I think we need significant more information to go forward. Thank you.
Can you give me a couple more minutes to give you a couple more facts that haven't been addressed yet?
Sure. Give me one more minute.
A couple more minutes.
Joe?
Yeah, I agree with what the chairman mentioned. You know, $20 to $30 million for infrastructure improvements, there's a lot of missing information. You know, no borings were done. Like you mentioned, unforeseen conditions. And what about if the plant needs to be upgraded? What about that money? That's a large sum of money that's needed. So,
Josh?
I agree with everybody as far as it's a definitely a beautiful piece of property in this town. It's almost an ace in a hole for the town, being that given its location. A project like that in that particular spot, it's not making sense to me in my head. Other places in town are available and could accommodate a project of this size, but just not there. And that's my opinion.
Thank you. Mark?
Yeah, knowing the area too, and been in the town of Montville my whole life, that road in that area, it's very winding. It's tough. We know we got to put a lot of money into the infrastructure and so forth, like you were saying. But I look at it, and again, more information's needed, you know, to really be able to make a decision on it. So I would stand with that.
Okay. Thank you, John.
Well, there's a lot of variables here, and also we can't go half-cocked, as they would say. We need housing. And I'm very familiar with the road, especially when I was a kid back in the 60s riding that with a bicycle. A lot of wines, everything else there. And with a concentration of houses there, and for water and sewer and all that stuff, I don't really know. A lot of times, people try to get misunderstand about affordable housing. A lot of times they think affordable housing is Section 8 housing, which it isn't. What we need is housing for young families. People are just starting off in the workforce and everything else, who are moving into Montville and everything else. You know, there's a lot of people moving in, like especially there could probably be a lot of young couples trying to get here, especially with the new project with electric boat. Sword there, yeah, it could be done, but it's going to cost a lot of money. But do we have the infrastructure for this? I don't know. Right now, well, I can't say.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Quinn.
Thank you so much. I appreciate all your comments. I just want to go through a little bit about this bond. This was not a casual affair, so I'd like to just give you a little background on how this all started. Mm-hmm. Early in 24, all of us at North commenced some planning for the 335 acres. I got a call from the developer I have a 40-year association with, and Brandon Hanfield was hired to look at the project. I gave a little input. I was busy with other things, and I couldn't participate at that time. I suggested that all of us hire Bill DiBella, former chairman, now vice chairman of the MDC. He knows sewer and water pretty well. He's been a lobbyist. He's been he was the Senate majority leader. He was a 9-term senator, well-known in the state on finance and bonding committee and so forth. So that relationship that I had previously with Bill led me to bring the developer into this project, and I said, why don't we talk to the state about an infrastructure bond? Now, the state has to make it available to everybody, but make no mistake, the initial push came from this group to ask for the bond. In February 2025, Bill approached a Senate Finance Chair, current John Fonfara, and request to add $30 million to the 25-26 Bond Act in the form of a rural infrastructure bond to advance the development here in Montville. It's still open to everybody in the state. But remember, they're going to have to go through the same level of work that we're going through, a massive front-end investment. And we have to go, they'd have to go to each of the towns and ask for this type of permission. So at this point, we wanted to accelerate the process. So on December 18th, we met with Matt Puglisi. I've known Matt from another project, Deputy Commissioner of DECD. I called Dan O'Keefe directly, and Dan said, talk to Matt. Matt handles the real estate piece. In February 2026, Matt Brockman, who's the Chief of Staff to Governor Lamont, suggested in a meeting that we go to meet with the OPM, Office of Policy and Management, to discuss the bonding process. We knew about the bonding process because we have one of the bonding experts here with us, so we went and had that meeting. Because the developer is out of state, I grew up in East Lyme, by the way, but the developer's out of state. The secretary designate of OPM, Joshua, and spent some time discussing the bonding proposal and the process. Then on March 4th, all of us submitted a confidential financial information of the developer directly to DECD. Our attorney brought it in. It's hand-delivered. It's rather private stuff. But DECD needed to know if this developer, who can afford to build this project and be able to qualify, meet all the qualifications, so we got that taken care of in advance. On March 10th, Bill DiBella and I went to see Brian Tassinari at OPM for preliminary discussion of the documents required to fund the package. OPM stated that the Montville housing project is a priority for the governor. We were told to speak to David Corus. It's a governor's, we'll say, advisor, okay? He doesn't handle the rural infrastructure stuff. He was responsible for the new project down in New Haven. He usually handles stuff along transportation corridors where there's train or bus routes and so forth, and he clusters the housing around the transportation corridors. That's not the case here, but because of the proximity to Electric Boat, he still had us talk to Mr. Corus, who we met at the legislative office building. We met with him on March 14th, and on March 18th, we met with Corus, and I assume he talked to the planner shortly thereafter. After that, and leadership has been advised of this, they well know in Hartford that this is a process that we're trying to work through. DiBella met with House Majority Leader Jason Rojas, who authored this housing bill for the state, and we're keeping him up to date as well, and he indicates that he supports the project. So this isn't just a random bond. This was a whole process to get this put in place for this sewer and water infrastructure process. Are there any questions on that process? Okay. I just want to tell you about the 800-unit project that we're talking about. I provided a phasing plan so I could give this project a little bit of structure to the planner. I assume you've all seen it or have it. So phase one would be, and I'm going to ask the planner, if you don't mind, to put up, there's three slides we sent you tonight. Do you have those?
The only three slides I would set the building, the architecture.
The architectural.
You have
the
mouse
there. Yeah. Okay. All right, just give me a minute. So the housing phase is phase one. And I have this all put out. There's 129 units in the first phase, which is about 10%. It might be 11 or 12% of what you're looking at currently for permits in the town. So it's close to 10%. And as part of the bond, we have made representations to OPM that we would start this project immediately to take some of the pressure off the demand that we're getting from Electric Boat, who we've had multiple meetings with and you've been supplied a letter from. So of those 129 units, they're mostly one-bedroom units, and they look like this on the design. And the reason we show you the design first, one of the questions that the planner asked us about was our architect. We have architects that do hotels, commercial, industrial buildings, residential, multifamily, and so forth, so we're working through the process. So this is the north lot on 32. You'll see that this is next to the condominium project that there's currently an old concrete building, needs to be removed. But this is what the layout would look like. That's not a swimming pool there. That's a water runoff area there, and it's currently pretty well treed in there. The reason the water runoff price is there is the water table and so forth, and that's a preliminary design. We would obviously bring this into you to show you the rest. The south lot, again, these are not swimming pools. Some of it's wetland. I'll have to talk to Brandon about that. Some of it's wetland. This includes townhouse-style units of four buildings and one larger building in the area. This is what one of the buildings on the southern lot is put out to look like. These are, and the floor plans are on the right, these are two-story units. They are walk-ups. They're ideal for people that are coming to town that need a place to be able to do this. And we have spoken to OPM, and they expect that we're going to do this under A30G, and we're going to have workforce housing available, too, in these units. It's good quality build. Those are the two-bedroom units. And the small buildings you see represented on the plan are what this particular building would look like. We can put any colors you want on the exterior, but that's the design. Our plan would be to bring our designs into you as we brought them forth. So we have a designer in-house. They do the plans, and then we bring them in. You take a look at them. From there, we'll hire the architect. This is the second building on the other site on the north side. That building has 45 units. You'll see it at the top. The individual units, you'll see with the cursor, I'm on the upper right side here. Those units are set up so we can meet some of the housing demand that's there and still make it affordable. I will tell you, before I started this project, and I was called by Bornstein, the developer, I started with the HUD numbers, then I started with the numbers that they have for the state of Connecticut, and then we took 80 and 60% of those numbers, and we worked backwards to make sure that this could be built in the town of Montville. Don't forget, we own the land. There's no mortgage on the land. So we had to figure out, is this going to be a viable project for the town? Can we afford to build it, and is it worthwhile from all aspects? So we've designed buildings. We've got a history of doing a lot of this out in the Cape area where I was for 30 years. But this will give you an idea what that building looks like. Now, the slides are slightly out of order. This is on the southernmost lot. This can be designed, this building. We put one bedrooms, but we can easily make that two bedrooms. We're looking for some guidance, and frankly, we're talking to Electric Boat and others about the mix, and we would have to make a decision at some point as to how to mix the ones and twos. Good-looking building. We're going to build it so there's very little maintenance. All the buildings will be condoed. We have told OPM we can agree to lease these units, sell these units, or offer a combination. If you know about what's going on in Groton, there's a similar size building, and they offer at X amount of dollars they have. We're to make this fit workforce housing numbers under that level. So I wanted to give you an overview of that process. Now, a little bit about timing. Let's say it takes us 6 to 8 months to get through the permits and to get the bonds secured. We believe we have a very good chance of getting this bond. I know what your report showed, but we have a very good chance of getting this bond. We're definitely the first out of the gate. We initiated the process, and we believe that because of the proximity and because of the comments we're getting in Hartford, that we have a very good chance of locking this down. If we do this, the first phase would be what I showed you with 129 units. We put in August the 26th as a start on one of these two lots, but it'll probably be October or November if we stayed right with our nose to the and kept pumping our efforts into this, and the town worked with us. These already have water and sewer. But that would give us a full year without working yet on Massapequa side while the bonding was finished up within the process. So there's an overlap in this development. We'd have to get through the bonding process. We made a commitment that we would start this to ease some of the load. They like that. So we would then advance the next phase. So there is some timing in there, but we have to lock down the ability to get the bond. When I met with Mr. Corus at the legislative office building, I asked him for something back from the state so we'd have a commitment before we spent what arguably many millions of dollars advancing the project forward. And I think that's part of the reason he took to calling right away to get a beat on the town. I'm almost done. 224 units in phase two, they wouldn't start until probably the later part of 27 and would go into the later part of 28 and wouldn't be available for delivery until 29. I have a copy of this for you if you don't have a copy. So that takes it out even a little bit further. There's not going to be a shock to the system. I've looked at all the other things, and I've Google mapped all the other things that you've had up and available in your process. I'm also told by the Senate Finance Chair through our team that this doesn't have anything to do with future funding for your other projects. This is completely individual, and you can tell by the way we applied for it that this was a separate entity from any other funding you could get from the state or requests from the state. And we've talked to the mayor about this, and we know the mayor has talked to the state about this. Phase three, we get a little more units in here, but this starts in late 28, almost 29, and it's going to go into late 30 or 31, could go in. We have some tight schedules here when we first put this together, but that delivery period won't be until really February, March, April, May, June of 30 or later, depending on the absorption rate as we go forward. So if EB keeps hiring people, and we are told that the new amount of hires, and this was a little bit of a discrepancy, was 8,000. I happen to live in East Greenwich, Rhode Island. A lot of people in my neighbors work at Quonset. Those other jobs are going to Quonset, where the subbase also has work being done, as you probably well know. The last phase is 224 units. But let me give you some totals so we have them. Between now and 2031, going into 2032, there's a total of 857 units. We don't intend to build more. We don't intend to overflow the system with surprises later. We do not think it's reasonable knowing the land as we do. I have personally walked that entire parcel. I've been up to the cliffs. I've been down at the train tracks. I've walked all the way through. I picked the ticks off myself a number of times. I think that there's a total of 857 real numbers in this project. Between now and the last units being delivered in probably 33, not 32, because it's going to take some time for these bigger buildings to fully absorb. We might have two-thirds of them full or more. It depends on how they hire. Now, we're hearing Electric Boat's going to also announce another 6,000 jobs behind this 8,000 jobs and then two more tranches of 4,000 jobs. I know. I see Mr. Pike.
Well, yeah. Excuse me, I happen to work there, and I'm actually involved in the Crystal Mall development, so I'll let you continue.
Okay,
go ahead.
So I so So the total one bedrooms for the project are 394 proposed, total two bedrooms, 418, total three bedrooms, 45. We can make some adjustments on these, but we see both this project and everything else you have put together on your list of developable projects fully absorbed because of the influx that I think we'll see here. That's what I have for you. Thank you for your time, consideration.
Yep, thank you, Mr. Quinn.
Staying late.
So, let's do this. Let's get you the answer you need so you can move forward and we can move forward.
That's what I'm going to read. I'm going to read it.
I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion, Mr. Chairman. I make a motion to not support the state's extension of water and sewer along Fort Shantock Road, Massapequa Side Road, and Dairy Hill Road.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone oppose? Anyone abstain? Here's your answer. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Thank you.